Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Yo, it's after. My name is Justin.
And Brian Brushwood.
It's true. His name is Justin.
So, man, this brings me the soundtrack for Bring It On. Not that I've watched that movie endlessly over and over again, because that would just be weird.
Jeez, man. First Supergirl, then Bring It. We'll probably Bring It On first before Supergirl.
Don't know what you're talking about. So, listen, gentlemen, first, I have a little minor announcement I want to say. I didn't say this on Weird Things, but I was just came out in Publishers Marketplace. Now I can talk about it. I have, in March, my new Jessica Blackwood book comes out from HarperCollins, and I've just signed a new book deal with Thomas and Mercer, which is one of the Amazon publishing companies, a division of Amazon, and I will have a book out in November. The Naturalist will be coming out.
There we go. Congratulations. I think that is a perfect place for you and your writing. I think that you will synergize very, very well with them.
This is tell me a bit about the publisher.
Thomas, so Amazon has their own publishing imprints. They have Thomas and Mercer is one of them that does their thriller and mystery imprints. So they're going to be releasing my book Naturalist, which they do print copies and they do the digital and all that. So it'll be my first release with their publishing arm.
Man, that's great. How cool.
Yeah, I had a wonderful conversation with a couple of their writers who've been with it, and they've been very, very happy. And they're like me, they're hybrid. And so still with HarperCollins, so I do my Jessica Blackwood series there, and I can launch this series over there because I've always wanted to have multiple book series going on simultaneously. So that's going to be an exciting year for me for 2017 is to have the two books back to back. And a little later on, I'm going to talk about just a really cool trick I learned for doing quick ebook publishing. But first
what
up,
weird trick that simplifies ebook publishing.
One weird trick. So we had a question came in, and this is funny because Bryce sent it to me. He's like, do you want to answer this personally or on the show? I'm like, no, this is a good question for the show, even though it's coming from somebody whose name is, quote, Rick Trollins. So
seems legit.
If that's your real name, it's an awesome name. And he writes, I'm a longtime fan of Weird After Things, and last week seemed like a contradiction. Andrew Main mentions people asking him questions on social media about his all caps expertise on Mars. I do not want my expertise on Mars is, so, and especially not worthy of all caps, instead of asking him. He mentions people asking questions on social media about his expertise on Mars. Instead of asking him, they should use Google to find answers for themselves, period. This is where I find a problem. People write to After Things to expertise your opinion, so instead of asking experts, we should just Google our answers, right? I'm not sure if I get which way the question is going, but I have an opinion either way.
Well, it sounds to him like he's saying asking a celebrity host a question about Mars when it's in the time it takes to ask that question, you could just as easily Google the answer. And I think that is what's happening is what you want is not – The end goal is not to get the answer of how long the Martian day is. The end goal is to take a trusted host that you enjoy and possibly have an interaction for them. You know, it's like by that, because otherwise it becomes like while you're at a party, why bother to have small talk? You know, you want to ask me about the weather? Why are you talking to me about the weather? You can't just Google the weather and know what the temperature was like or what the traffic was like on the way over. It's like, I'm not asking about your ride up because I care how the traffic on the 405 was. I'm asking because I want to have something to talk to you about.
Yeah. And I think it comes into there's certainly different kinds of questions too. And I think, cause now I remember sort of what I talked about where sometimes people are asking stuff. It's like, I just Google that. Cause it's more like I like to talk to people about stuff where I have a take on it, you know, but if it's like, what's the length of a Martian day? Like, yeah, just ask Google that. It'll give you a better answer than I will off the top of my head, you know? And I think there's some questions where like, what's your opinion on how we like, oh, we'll do this. And so I think sometimes it's, you get questions and you're like, man, like, I'm happy to have an exchange, but I can't offer you anything in that exchange other than nowhere near as accurate as what Google would be. But then some questions, though, there are some questions that aren't easily Googleable. People don't know how to frame them because we don't have context. And I try to understand that too, because I know a lot of times people are like, I don't even know how to phrase this. I find this all the time. Like, if I'm trying to code something, like, I don't even know how to do what I need to do. And I got to spend 10 minutes just figuring out how to ask the question to do the thing. And I think that it's you know, we all believe in like the idea that you should, you know, you have to weigh arguments from authority and understand what authority, what their domains really are, what they're not. I'm a former cruise ship magician, you know, and I have opinions about stuff, and I'll tell you where my opinions are based on. But some things I'm happy to weigh in on and go, oh, I think this is cool, or there's a more complicated answer to this than what you will find in a quick search.
Well, I think that's been, and it's taken me a while to get to that point with online comments and dealing with people, but I think I've realized that so much of what people are asking is not really what they're asking. There's like a question behind the question. You know, mm-hmm. When somebody emails me at brian@schwood.com, which I give out at the end of every Scam School episode, and they say, hey, could you give me a shout out on your channel? They're not really saying, I need, because that would be really weird. But what they're really saying is, I value your content, and it would make me feel real special if I had any kind of interaction with you at all. And, you know, when people call the toll-free number and then they get through the Byzantine maze to my cell phone, and they, you know, they just make up the dumbest question on the spot because they don't care about the question. What they care about is, oh, I'm having what feels like a conversation with somebody who I like a lot. And, you know, once I knew that, it became so much easier to have those conversations, to just sort of like say like a shout out on the channel. Oh, man, I wish I could give a shout out to everyone. Glad you liked the show. What's your favorite episode? And then it's like, all right, I got to go. Bye. You know, it gets a lot easier. And so I would say don't be offended when people ask dumb stuff, although I am guilty of using let me Google that for you from time to time. Have you ever done that?
I wouldn't feel I've maybe done that once to like a friend just to be mean, because it's a mean thing to do.
I've done it and then I've hidden you could even hide it so it doesn't show as an LMGTFY. But yeah,
I like, and I guess my point is that, and I because I'll get questions and people like Tekla's like, I'm going to look it up. I'm like, a lot of times like, I'm going to check this before I answer you. I'm going to try to check to make sure my facts are straight, because I'm a guy that like, I'm big on abstract theory when it comes to hard data and stuff like that. You know, I tend to try to wing it. And so I try, like, I'm going for my book, How to Make Money on Mars. Like, I spent today like putting in a bunch of references and stuff, because it's like somebody gets to the end of a chapter, like, oh, where can I read more on this? It's like, well, a lot of it is stuff that like, you know, over the years, just sort of like, you know, these sorts of things, but let me give you some sources to find stuff that's more information on it. You know,
there is one type of request that it's like, it's a bummer because it's super tedious and a pain in the butt for me. And it's a very inefficient way to do it. But I would say in the entire universe, I'm pretty much the world's foremost expert on remembering what tricks I did on Scam School. And so with like, you can't Google it, you can't find it. People will be like, there was a $20 bill and it ended up in a register and there was a corner torn off. And I'm like, oh yeah. And so like, weirdly, I feel like that's a service that I can offer. Please don't ask me. Everyone.
I have so little recollection of like, people will be like, hey, I love that. I do this such and such trick. That's great. I'm like, thank you for that. I'm like, oh yeah. You know, that was a thing I made up in 2006.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, oh, I'm very divorced from my past. I am like, I have really, really horrible memory, really horrible personal, like biographical memory.
I've been thinking about whether I should feel bad about that, because I'm the same way.
I forgot to.
No, but I'm the same way, where it's just like, there's so much I don't remember, or just because I don't hold it, I'm just not interested in that. And you hear about somebody like Pendulet, who, you know, keeps a journal and reviews the last 10 years and you know, remembers all that stuff, and as a result has a lot better recall. You know, whereas meanwhile, Justin and I rediscovered the whole bit of the all set up magician. And then Bryce had to point out that we spent 30 minutes developing the bit a year ago. And we were like, oh, yeah, did we? It was funny then, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Moving forward. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm always just worried on what's next, but probably wouldn't be a bad habit to, I don't know. I'd start a journal and it'd probably depress me.
You know, I think for me, certainly, my calendar was like that, or maybe going, like going through when I was touring really heavily, I would just see the name of the school and the flights I was taking. And it's like, I would be able to remember all that stuff. What's that?
And start to cry.
Yeah. I once performed Treasure Valley Community College.
So I have we'll keep this a short episode, but I have a really cool tip. I get this question a lot, like, how do I create an ebook, like an EPUB format? Mm-hmm. I swear I didn't just stutter. How do I create an EPUB or an ebook? How do I do that? And trying to round trip, that's not always been very, very easy. Now I've got one simple trick for creating an EPUB. And I called up my buddy Peter Wax last night, like, cause he's been working on a project. I'm like, dude, like, my favorite thing for finishing stuff and is using Vellum, because it makes very pretty ebooks, but it doesn't do footnotes and hyperlinks and stuff, which is problematic. But if you don't need those, Vellum's great if you're on the Mac to do that. But if you want to just create a dirt simple way to produce an EPUB now, Google Docs. You can go inside of Google Docs, kick your Google document, go in and use the heading. Like, you go in, let's say each chapter, use like the heading to create a heading, and that'll create insert a table of contents. It'll create a table of contents. It'll format it for EPUB that you can then open in iBooks. You can import it for Kindle, and you can do all those other formats. You can create everything inside of a Google Doc now to do an EPUB.
That's awesome. I wouldn't have expected that to work so easy, but I guess EPUB, it doesn't format it super pretty the way Vellum does though, huh?
Vellum does really nice, like, chapter headings and fonts and stuff. And so Vellum's got that nice little touch to it. So it's the trade-off. Like, I'll be doing my Mars book in Vellum. You know, I'm going to do that in Vellum because Vellum allows me, like, I like that. But I would consider if I, you know, kind of like in retrospect, it's like, yeah, if I needed to make it a little bit more of a, you know, a lot more footnotes and hyperlinks and stuff like that, knowing that going forward, it's like, okay, there might be situations. But if you just want a really easy way, if you're writing short stories or books or whatever, and you just want an easy way to produce an ebook, you can go on Google Docs, you can create the book that you need from there, table of contents, all that. You can go upload it onto Amazon system with, you know, images, whatever you need to do. So, you know, the other services will let you sell it, Google Play. So it's a much more simple way to do it. And that's just, there was just this year they added the format for EPUB.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Did Bryce like create one as I said this?
Well, he pulled up the Night Attack Diamond Club never ending novel Murderito.
Which Andrew helped along with Peter J. Wax, I believe, helped begin. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that dovetails really perfectly into our conversation about how nobody remembers more than 5 seconds into the past.
Jeez. Telling you, like mayflies.
I mean, I really look forward to the internet telling me what my life was like.
I'll tell you what, that's actually brilliant, Andrew. I'm really glad that you shared that because I know, as somebody who only really deigns to do an ebook, you know, whenever he's, you know, just periodically wants to write absolute nonsense, it always is the worst and most like temperamental part of things. And so if you're doing something simple, especially because, I'm sure it's better now, but like, you know, with a lot of those like e-ink Kindles, things kind of format in different ways anyway, mm-hmm. when you're reading it. So it's like, if you just want something dirt, dumb, simple, the fact that Google Docs does it is great.
Well, and I don't know, it's really a testament to, there's a million excuses you can have come up with to stop or to keep yourself from doing something. But nowadays, that separation is like, at some point you got to put the blame on yourself and be like, oh, it's not because I haven't found a publisher or an agent or because I don't have the tools to blah, blah, blah. It's because I just haven't done it because now you could just open up a free software, publish for free and get it out.
Yeah, and you can even take a document. You could go into Word, or excuse me, Microsoft Word's not what I meant to say. You could go into Google Docs, and you could create a document, and then you could say, "Hey, Brian, could you go in and take a look at my book and edit it?" And you could make notes in that document, and then I can create from those notes. I can then improve it or do whatever I want to, and then click Output. I can create an EPUB from there, right? And then I could put that EPUB in my Google Drive and share it with people. And if I wanted to do a new version of the book, I can actually replace that same EPUB URL with the new version.
Yeah.
So very, very helpful. But let's you guys got to get ready for Night Attacks. Let's jump into picks.
Yeah, I'm going to do a really silly one. I played it for free this afternoon. We're probably going to play it again in the after show. But from Squanchtendo, Justin Roiland's production company, and Crows comes a free VR game called Accounting. And it's the first game I'm getting for the Vive that I'm going to have to explain to my children. They're just not allowed to play because there's some dark themes in there and a hell of a lot of salty language. It's pretty funny, though, because I feel bad that I went through it as fast as I did because the puzzles are trivial. And the real star of the show is just the long form, just continuous improvisation that people just keep on going. You know, there's these scripted chatter events just to kind of keep stuff afloat while they're waiting for you to solve the puzzle. But the talent for improvisation these guys have, just they keep on going and going and going and going. And it was a lot of fun and it's free. Maybe a 20 or 30 minute experience, but I laughed out loud. It was great.
I love that he called it Squanchtendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My pick is I watched Star Wars again on the plane. I really liked Star Wars Episode 7. I was unprepared for how much I would be charmed by it. I really, really, really liked it. So go watch it again.
I have a pick. And I spent this weekend when I was trying to like take a break, walk away from my computer and do something else, like just lay on my bed and watch something. I watched all of the behind the scenes stuff for the re-release of Aliens, James Cameron's take on the Ridley Scott film Alien, his follow up to that. The original Alien was a script by Danny O'Bannon, and Ridley Scott did a wonderful job. So James Cameron steps on board to do Aliens. And what's neat about this is you have to understand that this is sort of James Cameron went from being a guy that was doing set dressing and props and stuff for Roger Corman science fiction flicks to just a couple years later, he did Terminator. And the same time he was working on that, he gets offered to do Terminator production got pushed back. So he thought he was going to be able to shoot it, but then they had to wait because Arnold Schwarzenegger was under contract. So he couldn't get Arnold then. He needed money and he got hired to do the Rambo First Blood Part 2 script. And then he was offered by offhand, like, would you be interested in writing a script for Aliens? Not direct, but just write the script for Aliens. And as James Cameron describes it, he took, you know, every bit of control that it took to not burst out and say yes and say, you know, like, yeah, I'd be interested in that. And he had been a huge fan of that. It was, you know, Ridley Scott was influenced in the same way James Cameron was when Star Wars came out, because the first Star Wars film, you had the Millennium Falcon with rust stains, you know, was a lived in universe where our prior, you know, space movies like 2001, everything was NASA gleaming shiny. And here was this dirty sort of things were broken. And Alien got pushed into production off the success of Star Wars. And Ridley Scott did an amazing, amazing film. You go back and watch Alien and the production design there. It's incredible. And here comes James Cameron, who's asked to do the sequel. As we all know, sequels suck. Yeah, that was historically sort of the point of view, but it's not really true. Godfather 2 is great. And
but also what was remarkable about Aliens is sequels were always just the first movie made again. Yep. And they did something very, yeah, very different. They told a war story in Aliens. There were horror elements, but nothing like the psychological terror of the Predator and Prey story of the first movie.
Absolutely. And that was what Cameron was very wise. He went and said, I'm going to take a different path here. He'd sold the producers on the idea of, I'm going to make this a war movie. It's going to be, you know, be Aliens, war movie. They're like, we love it. And he put together a great script, and he wasn't going to be able to direct it until they saw Terminator. And they saw Terminator, said, all right, this guy gets to direct it. Production of the movie, they shot it in England. It was problematic. James Cameron's James Cameron working with the British crew. You can only imagine how those two got along or did not get along. The behind the scenes stuff is just amazing. And you see how meticulous he is about every single point, every single thing. You get a deep appreciation. And this, you're watching this guy, and you know, he's making this movie in 1984, 1985.
and to see that later on he would create, you know, his own billion-dollar franchise and Avatar, et cetera, everything else. It's not that surprising given how hardworking and how thoughtful he was about everything. So the Aliens behind the scenes stuff, I highly recommend. And Alien as well, you know, which is Alien was just this out of nowhere. Ridley Scott, you know, the guy who did the movie The Duelist, you know, gets picked to do a science fiction film when people are like, Ridley Scott? And well, yeah, hell yeah. It was a brilliant choice. So
that's awesome.
My picks.
Awesome.
It's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.